And now, Barron's ranked top 100 independent advisors. It's time for Scott Hansen and Pat McClain of Hansen McClain's Money Matters.
That's right. I like the guy's voice. Scott
He's
Hansen
right
here. He's right there. Sounds so serious.
Who is he?
Sounds like should be introducing like a monster truck jam or something.
If you've been to a monster, anyway, let's do the introduction, and then we'll talk about my experience at a monster truck rally.
Yes,
I went once. Oh. It was a tractor pull.
A tractor pull.
I went to both. I went to a monster truck rally, and I've been to a tractor pull. Pretty much an all-American financial advisor.
Almost done with that bucket list.
Anyway, you're Scott Hansen.
I'm Scott Hansen.
I'm Pat McClain. You're listening to Hansen McClain Advisors.
Yeah.
It's a radio show. We talk about money, talk about how to save it, how to protect it, how your retirement plans work, how to save for a comfortable retirement, how to retire comfortably with some peace of mind. That's what we do.
I thought you were going to say, and keep more for yourself and less for the tax man.
That I used to say
15
that.
15 years ago, we had our, that was an old liner.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're here on the fact is we're certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We've been practicing financial advisors, financial planners, investment advisors, whatever you want to call us.
Let's call us that.
Okay, we'll call us that. Anyway, we spend our weekdays with people like yourself, helping them plan their financial futures and come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. Now, true full disclosure, in the summer, not every day during the week are we spending with people like
it
yourself.
It is the summer.
And in July, there are some weeks that I'm not going to
full disclosure.
There's full disclosure.
But investment, if you're new to the show, investment advisory firm located in Northern California, 4,000 clients, $2 billion assets under advisement.
So exciting.
What's that?
If you're new to the firm, yeah, we sell hamburgers here and hot dogs. And yeah, you just put the ketchup on it. And yeah,
that's the enthusiasm he
wow.
had.
Wow.
That's the enthusiasm, man. With like, no, I'm just trying to give him a little background. What do you want to do? How exciting? We're financial advisors. How exciting can
it's
it be?
It's unbelievable. No. Look, first of all, we're fiduciaries.
Oh,
which,
wait, the kids call the neighbors.
No. We don't manufacture product. We don't sell product. That makes a difference.
Look, it makes a difference. It absolutely makes a difference. But do you think that the listeners of the radio show are going to get excited about the fact that we're fiduciaries? You're going to share a fiduciary story with us? Most people didn't actually know what a fiduciary was until this John Oliver thing came out. Good night this next week or good night this week, good night. last week tonight.
John I think most Oliver. People probably don't watch it.
It's pretty funny.
It is funny. I watch the little clips on. I don't subscribe to HBO, but I watch those little clips. I don't like some of the programming on HBO. I just find I don't know. Anyway. So look, here's talking about we don't manufacture product. Why is that a big deal?
Well, because
here's the deal.
Okay.
Securities Exchange Commission readies case against Merrill Lynch over notes that lost 95%. Okay. So the Securities Exchange...
Wait, is this the same one that they were working on 4 years ago? Is this a new one?
I'm going to tell you right here. I think it's a new one. They're preparing a civil enforcement case against Merrill.
Who is the SEC?
Yes.
Who owns Merrill?
Bank of America.
All right.
One of their own financial advisors called borderline crooked. So it was an interesting article in the Wall Street Journal a week or two ago.
So they manufacture their own products.
Yeah, it's a structured note. Right? They're custom built by the banks out of options and other derivatives and are sold mostly to retail investors. Right? So what this was, this probe involves a product called strategic return notes. Merrill sold over a number of months in 2010. So this is after the financial crisis. This wasn't something from a black swan
They sold
event.
Something in 2010 that lost money? It was almost impossible to lose money
right,
in 2010.
That was a good year, wasn't it?
My dog had double-digit return.
Your dog? So, here it was, 2010. They sold, it was called Strategic Return Notes. It was linked to a Merrill Lynch index tracking the volatility of the S&P 500 index. Okay, the 5-year notes, but they lost value rapidly after they're issued, as market volatility fell. So market volatility fell, and the cost of buying the options rose dramatically underneath. These so-called roll costs averaged about 12% of the principal per quarter in the first half of 2011.
That's over 50% on a compounded basis.
Then it still went to where it was falling 4% per quarter in the second half of the year.
Why didn't they just roll the thing up after they realized that it wasn't working?
The brokers alleged they were never told the cost could grow so large, right? So
here you've got, this is why a fiduciary, why a fiduciary is important.
Here's this broker, Merrill Lynch broker, I won't mention his name, but he's there in the Wall Street Journal, so it doesn't matter, states, and it's on record, the roll costs are far larger than we ever understood or were disclosed to us. This is borderline crooked.
Well, good for him.
Okay?
Now get out of the corner office, the man that just made that statement to the Wall Street Journal.
And the Merrill at the time would love to, they're trying to avoid a complaint on this.
How much money was invested in these? Did it say?
$150 million.
I don't know where you grew up. Where I grew up, that's a lot of money.
It's, yeah.
How much money are they being sued for?
Oh, the Maryland's bringing a civil action. Banks sell between $40 billion and $50 billion of structured notes each year.
Bank of America does.
No, banks as a whole.
Oh, banks.
So here's the challenge with these. Here's why we think being an independent registered investment advisor, if you're going to hire an advisor, is a far superior model. Okay?
A fiduciary. There's a broker, Merrill Lynch, right?
Not maybe really. A good guy.
Maybe a great guy. Maybe
the challenge is Merrill creates their own products, or the bank creates their own products.
Right.
They then go to the brokers and say, hey, brokers, we've got this fantastic product. Look, your clients are not earning very much. We've got a great alternative for you. Our smart people developed this wonderful product, and we're going to be able to get excess returns. Why don't you recommend this to your clients? Your clients would really appreciate the high returns that these investments offer, right? And they say, well, we need some more research on this. Oh, great. We have all the research you need. Talk to our research analyst about this. Here's our reports that we have about this. So the broker can do all kinds of research from a biased source.
Themselves. They have a dog in the fight.
Huge dog in the fight.
They want to sell their products. The analyst that covers it wants you to sell the product.
Yeah. Even if they try to be objective, they can't. They work for the company that manufactures them. So they tell these brokers, how can a broker be unbiased?
So here's the difference. They're brokers.
So the brokers might be trying to act in the client's best interest, but the nature of the relationship is flawed. You cannot have that broker act unbiased in that environment. It's impossible.
You can't serve two masters.
So, but I see what the problem is, what happens, what we see as advisors, we see the rehab cases.
Where they come in and they say, this is what happened to me. What do we do? And
I had a neighbor lose 85% on a different kind of a structured product.
From a bank.
From a city. It was a Citibank.
Yeah.
I think it was Citigroup back in the day. Smith Barney.
Yeah.
Smith Barney Broker sold them.
Are they still around? Smith Barney?
They changed the name to something else. I don't know. Something.
City. Something. So the reality is there's a difference between a broker and a fiduciary. A fiduciary has to put your interest first. Has to. A broker does not have to put your interest first.
They don't have a legal obligation to.
None. They have to do what's, what do they call it? In your
suitable.
Suitable.
Whatever that means.
Suitable. Which means it's not going to blow you up too much. I don't know what suitable means. I don't tell my kids, you know, hey, that's suitable. It's not, it doesn't make any sense. So.
Here they highlighted an investor. Here's this guy, Till, a 78-year-old retired banker. He bought $109,000 of the notes. He was told the product would protect his investments. in a volatile market.
That's awful.
Right?
That's awful.
He thought it would protect him in a volatile market.
78 years old.
The summer of 2011, as the market was falling, I got a call from he called him an investment advisor. See what happens? Stockbrokers changed their name. You tell me. After reading this, I got a call from my investment advisor, said, "Till, this product's not working at all. In fact, it's doing just exactly the opposite. We need to sell." He sold the notes for $72,000, had a loss of 30-some-odd% on this.
Oh, and well, he got out.
Got out, yeah. "I feel totally misled by the information that Merrill sent me." That's because that's the challenge, though. If you're working with if you love your advisor.
Well, Scott, what makes it even worse right now for Merrill Lynch clients and Bank of America clients is that Bank of America is trying now to get, if you bank at Bank of America, they're trying to push you over to Merrill Lynch to investment services there and vice versa.
And vice versa. Your quote unquote investment advisor, who's really a stockbroker, not only are they incentivized to refer their clients to the banking products, they are, in many cases, they are penalized if they don't. They have quotas on loans, quotas on credit cards. Not every bank, but I've certainly read about them. I'm not sure if Merrill, what the quotas are in Merrill or not at Merrill. But anyway, as you can tell, we start getting, I read, it's, so it's out there.
You need to be careful.
And if you are working with an advisor, obviously we are very proud of Hanson McLean. We think we do a great job. Love the opportunity to work with you. But there are other firms out there. If you're going to work with an advisor, why would you choose a flawed model?
Yeah, given there's other choices, yes. And we're seeing some of these people leaving these wirehouses, what they call the big brokerage firms, and going independent.
It's almost like if you had cancer, would you only work with one drug company? I'm going to work with the doctors who all work for this one drug company. Maybe there's better drugs out there, but how would I know? Because,
oh, that's a terrible analogy.
That is a bad analogy. My apologies.
Yeah, that's just, anyway.
But anyway.
If you'd like to join the show, 888-242-6766. That's 888-242-6766. 888-2-HANSON. And always at moneymatters.com. We'll be back right after this.
To have your questions answered by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, visit their website at moneymatters.com or call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Retirement isn't what it used to be. With rising costs, volatile markets, and longer life expectancies, will you be ready for all that you want to do when you leave the workforce and head into retirement? Hi, this is Scott Hanson, host of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, broadcast here every weekend. If you have any questions about your retirement, you should join us for the 7 Personal Decision Points Retirement Planning Workshop presented by Hanson McLean Advisors. We'll be hosting this event in the San Francisco Bay Area, the Sacramento Capital Region, and Denver Cherry Creek on Saturday, July 23rd at 11:15 a.m. Thousands have attended our workshops and have benefited from more than 20 years of experience helping people prepare for their future. We'll cover a variety of topics that are pertinent to your retirement, such as ways to generate income from your investments and when to start Social Security. It's a free, no-pressure, 75-minute event for you to learn about your retirement planning and have your questions answered. The workshop is free, but seating is limited, and our last round of workshops filled up quickly. So to reserve your spot, simply call 1-888-2-HANSON or visit moneymatters.com. That's moneymatters.com.
To one of the longest-running financial programs. Here's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
That's right. Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
Hope everyone had a fantastic July 4th. I think most people were off work on a Monday, yeah. July 4th.
Actually, so I spent some time with my oldest. Remind me, we're going to take this call, and then I want to talk a little bit about my son.
Your life.
My what?
Your life.
I want to talk a little bit
about... Enough about you.
I want to talk a little bit about my 20-year-old son and how he has got a stock trading account and how it reminds me of when I was 20 and I had a stock trading account as well.
Why don't you go ahead and tell us...
I want to talk to Joanne in Aurora, Colorado.
So, you know, there are... In the television, radio industry, there are what are known as teases. And, of course, you hear them all the time. You see them all the time. to try to get the listeners or the viewers continue.
I'm not trying
on.
To do that.
This is the opposite of that.
I'm not.
So now it's like I got to put up with the call, and then Pat's going to talk about his.
I'm not trying to tease anyone. I don't know anything about radio or television.
20 years.
Oh, yeah, I just talk on this microphone.
I'm just a simple man.
But we're going to talk to Joanne. Joanne in Aurora, Colorado. Thank you for joining Hanson McLean.
I'm messing with you here because, look, at Pat, like, you sometimes just take over, and I have the control thing.
Yeah, press the button.
All right, Joanne, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi.
Hi, Joanne.
I don't know if you can help me or not, but basically, our medical expenses, especially my husband's, are taking away most all of our savings. And I'm just wondering if by the time I need something, if we're going to have anything left. Because I've seen it happen to friends. They lose their house, you know, by the time they, you know, continue to pay for medical expenses, their savings are all gone. I understand you have to use the equity in your house or whatever you own and liquidate it down to nothing. So
I'm sorry to hear the situation here. You're in Colorado, correct?
Right.
And how much are your medical expenses for your husband per month approximately?
Well, I'm looking at probably more. He's had health issues for 21 years, and right now he's in rehab. But I don't know that he's going to be coming home again. I've taken care of him up until the last couple of years. But we've had caregivers come in and take care of him, and it's cost us around $6,000 a month.
Yeah, very expensive. Yeah. Okay. And you could expect the same in a either a skilled nursing facility or a long-term care facility.
Rehab center, yeah. So, okay. And how old's your husband?
He is 79.
And how old are you, Joanne?
78. Huh?
How old are you?
I'm 79. He's 78.
Got it. And what does your assets look like? You own a home. What's the value?
I would guess around $250,000.
And what other assets do you have?
Well, we have some mutual funds, and we have some savings accounts, and then he has a retirement that comes in monthly.
And so in those mutual funds and savings account, what's the approximate value of that?
You know, I'm not real sure right now because of the market, but I think around $500,000.
Okay. And what is the income on a monthly basis? You're receiving pension income. How much are you receiving?
Just a wild guess, around $5,000 a month.
And Social Security as well for the both of you?
No, he's a federal retiree.
Got it. Got it. And are you receiving Social Security?
No, I have a small retirement from the state.
Do you have a financial advisor that you work with that has offered any advice on any of these things?
We don't have a financial advisor. That's kind of my issue because I just am afraid by the time I need more care, there may not be anything left because I'm healthier than he is. So. I just don't know exactly.
Yeah,
what to do.
And every state is different as far as the rules, as far as look back and being able to separate some assets to, for example, transfer some of these assets into your name. We would strongly recommend in Colorado to work with somebody who specializes in this area, and there are attorneys that specialize in this exact area. It's for Medicare purposes, for long-term care purposes. And there are rules. There are some laws out there.
And every state is different in terms of what you can transfer to someone else or how often you can transfer it and how long they look back into it and what are protected assets and what are not protected assets. Everyone. But from what you've described to me, it doesn't appear to be dire.
No.
From what you
and
just
that's even
described.
Just by meeting with the right kind of advisor who can map out the situation and say, okay, worst case, Joanne, here's what things look like 10 years from now, 15 years from now.
Right. So your overall expenses to the house, including his care, will be somewhere around $7,500 a month,
8,000?
Something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
And you've got $5,000 a month coming in income. So that leaves a deficit of actually maybe $4,000 a month, which is $50,000 a year.
Which would take you, assuming you're nothing on your investments, with 20 years worth of income.
Not quite, because you've got they've got $500,000 in assets and then the home. So I don't know whether the home is protected in the state of Colorado or not.
I don't know either. I have not heard. It seems like a friend of mine lost her house because of the long-term.
Oftentimes in many states you don't lose the house. They put a lien against it until you die, and when you die, then the state gets the house. So it's not like you lose the house. What happens is your heirs don't inherit the house.
I see.
You would stay in it until you die. Now, that's in most states. I don't know the rules in Colorado.
Yeah. Right.
So I would sit down with a qualified. And one of the things that you want to make sure that they're not coming in with product.
Don't buy talking about
annuities. Because that is, at least in the state of California, that's a big technique that we see used often.
Now we're taking money out of the mutual fund to pay help.
And why the mutual funds and not the money in the bank?
I don't know. We just felt like that we should keep some liquid assets.
So the question I would have is the tax implications on the mutual funds versus not the mutual funds.
But the deductions they're getting for medical expenses.
But you
need some sort of strategy on where's the money going to be coming from. Mutual funds can be super aggressive. They can be super conservative depending on how they're invested. So I want to make sure there's a strategy so we have at least 5 years worth of expenses that are not tied to the things that are going to go up and down
in the market. Yeah.
So
you need to sit down with someone qualified. And unfortunately, it's not that easy to find a qualified advisor. You want to look for a fiduciary.
Yeah. And someone who's an elder.
A fiduciary. I'm not even sure what that is.
What it means is they have to put your interest above their own. They're not going to sell you commissioned products that are helpful for you, for them, and may not be helpful for you. So you want to look for a fiduciary financial advisor, and preferably someone that works in the elder community. So there are many people that actually understand the rules of the state of Colorado as well as being a fiduciary.
Okay.
So that's what you want to look for. And I would just Google that, a fiduciary elder care financial advisor.
Fiduciary elder care.
Financial advisor and see what pops up.
Okay.
All right.
Good luck, Joanne. I'm sorry.
Now,
Joanne,
before we ran out of money, I just wanted to.
It's many, many years.
You've got, it doesn't, when.
You're not, you don't have to rush and do this Monday.
Yes, there is no hurry. There is no hurry. You have plenty of time, plenty of time. So just stay away from the annuity salesperson.
I'm wise enough to know that's not a good idea.
Okay, thank you. I had a client here in California that when the wife was in the nursing home, the annuity salesperson was at home with the husband talking about how to spend down, why they were going to run out of money.
Put it on an annuity.
He didn't. No. He stopped it.
Anyway,
appreciate the call.
Yeah, so your son in trading.
Oh, so my son is a college student, Denver. Speaking of Denver. And so he called me and he says he opened
up. Is he living in Denver for the summer?
I came home. He works and goes to school in Denver during the school year. And he and a buddy of his have been trading stocks. So I said, what kind of stocks are you trading? And he said, well, some decent name ones like Tesla. And this is all his own.
I know, I laugh too.
he's a pretty smart kid. And then he was trading on some penny stocks. And so I said, what's penny? He said, 80 cents a share, 50 cents a share. And I said, well, how's it going? He said, well, I made a lot of money yesterday, but not quite as much as, I haven't gotten back to what I put in.
And so I described down now
a little bit, but, I think it's a great education.
Absolutely.
So he said, what do you think I'm going to invest X amount of dollars? And I said,
Only invest if you're buying penny stocks and you're buying aggressive stocks like that. You don't have a diversified portfolio. Don't invest any more money than you're prepared to lose.
Almost like what if you're going to go to the blackjack tables in Vegas, how much you going to take with you in your pocket.
Don't bring any more than you're
I actually to. Think it's wonderful for young people to have some experience investing and have losses.
Yes.
Because there's no education better than losing money on an investment.
But I was in college. I had a stockbroker, and I would trade some. I don't trade anymore. I have a well-diversified portfolio.
You probably have very few individual securities.
Almost none.
Yeah.
Okay. Almost none.
And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue with some calls. To join Hanson McLean, 1-888-2-HANSON is the number. 1-888-2-HANSON. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
To be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-242-6766.
Hey, if you're listening to our show on podcast and you'd like to be a caller into the show, don't hesitate to give us a call.
That's
at 888-2-HANSON. That's 888-2-HANSON. You got it.
Yeah, we'll take your call. We record sometimes during the week, so we'd love to take your call.
Helping you take the worry out of your retirement. It's back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
It should be Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Anyway.
What did they say?
I said.
Oh.
Anyway. Right.
So, I'd like to take this call. Can we?
Sometimes
we'll take a call in a minute. If you'd like to join the show, 888-2-HANSON. What are you laughing at?
So here's the thing. I've got about four topics that I may bring up, and I was just kind of seeing what how much you were participating in the show. We're just kind of waiting to see where I was taking it. That's why I just sat there for a second to see.
I had no agenda. I just want to talk to people.
Well, we'll take this call in a minute. Before that, though.
888-2-HANSON if you want to join the show. Are you saying that I come into the show unprepared? I think a lot about work.
Sometimes you are way overly prepared.
Well.
And come in.
You know what I do when I'm not working? I'm thinking about work. So technically, I'm always working.
Oh, please. Are you kidding? Pat called. He called that he couldn't find the office. I had to give him directions. It had been so long since he'd been here. Like, Pat, you got laughed on that room.
Oh.
I didn't even know where the office was anymore. Not quite, but.
When I'm not working, I'm thinking about work. So technically, I'm always working.
The Securities Exchange Commission. For the life of me, I don't understand why they allow some products to be created.
That is correct.
They are trying to curb what are known as leveraged ETFs. Leveraged exchange.
Oh, I could see where you could, those would, are they, like if you were trying to short something big, you might want to short a leveraged ETF.
Well, no, how about just have the ETF? Well, that's shorting something big, all right.
It's right?
Yeah. I don't know if there are any rules
on shorting leverage?
A leveraged,
I don't know.
Maybe but like a ProShares, they have 12 leveraged ETFs. And in 2006, the SEC allowed them all. And matter of fact, there's now 170 leveraged and inverse ETFs with almost $30 billion in them. That's quite a bit, actually. But what these are designed to do is oftentimes do the opposite of whatever the market's doing. So if the market's going up and you want to bet that it's going to go down.
You buy the inverse.
Yeah. The problem with these is, look, there's one that's three times.
That's a big bet.
Come on. Three times.
So if the market goes down, is it an inverse or forward?
15 of ProShares' 151 ETFs are triple leveraged or triple leveraged inverse products.
Which means if the market goes up by 10%, your portfolio goes up by 30%.
Or maybe 29% because there's costs.
Yeah.
And if the market
I'm sure the costs are pretty high in these.
I would imagine they are. If the market goes down 10, you go down 30. It wouldn't take much of a.
You got to be pretty sure of yourself.
That's crazy. Why would anyone invest?
Are they trying to get rid of them?
Well, they're trying to figure out what to do about them. Yeah, they're moved to curb them. Whatever that means.
Again. Why would you curb them? Do you think that the people buying them don't know what they do?
Well, there's restrictions on mutual funds on how much risk that they can use and how much borrowing.
Oh.
And so I think they're trying to impose some of that.
On the exchange-traded funds because they're not technically mutual funds.
You got to be careful. I remember before the financial crisis, ETFs weren't as popular then, but we still certainly had mutual funds. And they're leveraged mutual funds that it would invest in munis.
And they
crashed. I actually remember calling this program and someone was arguing with us.
Yeah, because he said the yield was high. I remember the call. He liked him because the yield was higher than anything else he was getting.
And he thought we were kind of, we were like, whoa, Bo, you know, you're going to really wipe out here. And
he was an older gentleman.
He thought we were, didn't know.
He said we didn't understand. Well, we understood.
We understood. I don't know.
But we understand what the most important thing in a portfolio is not the upside rate of return. I'm going to tell you right now, it's the downside. It's the risk. That is the most important thing in a portfolio, is the risk that you're taking.
And matter of fact, the risk, that's really the true cost of investing.
That is correct. Right? There's
people focus on fees.
Which
that's
you should.
Important, absolutely.
You should.
We look for low-cost investments. Don't get us wrong. But the true cost
is the risk, the downside.
Yep.
Right? So if you participate in 100% of the downside risk, and only 50% of the upside, then you're paying too much, right? Your risk.
Way too much.
The cost is too great. The amount of risk is too great for your upside. If you're capturing 100% of the upside and only 50% of the downside.
Well, then you got a phenomenal portfolio.
Then you have a phenomenal portfolio.
It probably doesn't exist. Yeah, unicorn.
Yeah. But that's the biggest. So when people ask about returns, we answer the question. We answer the question. This is what the returns, this is how these portfolios, what we can expect them to do. On the upside. But what we worry about most is the downside.
Yeah, particularly if the downside, if it goes sideways, is it going to impede someone's lifestyle? Is it going to change their life?
Most retirees are more interested in not being poor than they are in being rich. Most retirees are interested in not being poor more than they are.
I'd say, most people who come to Hanson McLean are mostly concerned about maintaining their standard of
living.
So
we just had a
They don't want to try to take the bets. They would like to double and triple their money in a short period of time, but they also know that that can fall just as quick. They want to maintain their asset. They want to maintain their lifestyle.
So we just had a phone call with Joanne in Colorado. She didn't ask about returns. She was worried about running out of money because of a healthcare issue with her husband. That's really what it gets down to.
Yes, and good financial planning
will help mitigate that.
Good advisor providing guidance throughout someone's
mitigate that. And what was our recommendation to her? Go to an advisor that understands someone like yourself.
Yeah, and
your situation.
All right, we should probably go to the calls because Phyllis has been holding. Phyllis. You're with Hanson McLean.
My question is, can you briefly explain about the new law that financial advisors must be a fiduciary, and does it affect something you've already purchased?
Oh, good question. So, a little background on this. There's many different regulatory bodies that oversee financial services. Banking industry has the Treasury Department. They've got all kinds of different regulatory bodies. And then in the securities industry, there's the Securities Exchange Commission, there's the Financial Regulatory Regulatory Authority, there's the Consumer Financial Protection Board. In insurance, there's some further ones there. So there's all kinds of different regulatory bodies. But it's still been a position for retirement assets, money that's been in a 401k or an IRA when somebody's retired, that someone could sell financial products that were not necessarily in the individual's best interest, right? So you could go to some broker at a bank or whatever, and with your 401k rollover, you've retired your IRA, and they can sell you a financial product that may or may not be in your best interest. Now, the Department of Labor had been looking at this and saying, you know, we don't really like some of the garbage products that are pushed on people once they retire. Their 401k leaves their employer and goes to retirement plans. So they pushed through a rule that got banded around for a long time that basically stated that when somebody recommends an investment in money that used to be in a 401k plan or even still in a 401k plan, they have to legally act in that client's best interest, not their own. There's a legal requirement that they put their customer's interest ahead of their own.
But this law only requires it to that rule in an IRA. So you could have
another retirement plan.
Or another retirement. So you could have a brokerage account, or you could have some money that you had in the bank that moved to a brokerage account that isn't in an IRA, and those rules, fiduciary rules, do not apply. Which makes no sense whatsoever, does it? Because if it applies for some of your money, if it's good for some of your money, why isn't it good for all of your money?
Right.
So, does it apply to something you've already bought? Do you have money in IRAs?
I do.
Okay.
It will only apply if you are being charged a management fee on that account. So if you have a broker or advisor who is charging you a ongoing management fee, which is common, but not you don't see it everywhere, then the rules and it comes into effect next year will apply.
And so what is in your IRA? And we could actually give you an idea whether it applies or not.
Mutual funds.
Okay. And do they have an A, B, or C behind the names?
I don't remember.
Is there some? Do you pay a quarterly fee to somebody to manage those and move them around for you?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so you already have. Do they work for a big bank or are they an independent advisor?
Independent.
Okay,
I bet they're a fiduciary.
You already have a fiduciary relationship.
Okay.
You're good.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
You don't have to worry. You're good.
Already in the right. Sounds like you're already in the right kind of setup. You're already working with somebody that is. Charging you a fee, is agnostic on what's inside of the accounts, is making changes based upon what they think is in your best interest.
Not in what is the best interest of their company or themselves. And it basically gets down to is they're not taking income from another source.
Yes.
You are the only one that is paying them for their services.
Yeah.
So we appreciate the call.
Yeah. It sounds like you got the right kind of setup, Phyllis. And we hope that this new Department of Labor ruling on the fiduciary will help a lot of other investors as well.
We're
taking a quick break. This is Hanson McLean.
To join the show, call us at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-242-6766.
Retirement isn't what it used to be. With rising costs, volatile markets, and longer life expectancies, will you be ready for all that you want to do when you leave the workforce and head into retirement? Hi, this is Scott Hanson, host of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, broadcast here every weekend. If you have any questions about your retirement, you should join us for the 7 Personal Decision Points Retirement Planning Workshop presented by Hanson McLean Advisors. We'll be hosting this event in the San Francisco Bay Area, the Sacramento Capital Region, and Denver Cherry Creek on Saturday, July 23rd at 11:15 a.m. Thousands have attended our workshops and have benefited from more than 20 years of experience helping people prepare for their future. We'll cover a variety of topics that are pertinent to your retirement, such as ways to generate income from your investments and when to start Social Security. It's a free, no-pressure, 75-minute event for you to learn about your retirement planning and have your questions answered. The workshop is free, but seating is limited, and our last round of workshops filled up quickly. So to reserve your spot, simply call 1-888-2-HANSON or visit moneymatters.com. That's moneymatters.com.
Can't always catch Money Matters on the radio each week? Get a podcast of the show delivered to your device every week. Visit moneymatters.com. Now back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Glad you're sticking here with us on this summer day. I like summertime. My daughter home, my kids home for the summer.
Yeah, mine as well.
My daughter has 2 friends living with us.
So oh, is that right?
That makes for interesting times. It's a good idea.
They're pretty independent,
no,
though.
I know. They don't even like being around me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's
don't take it personally.
Why would I take it personally?
Yeah, they like being around you when you're buying dinner. They like that. When there's something in the kitchen, you happen to be in the kitchen. Yeah.
You know, actually, in a couple of weeks, my daughter sends me, she's 20 years old, sends me a text a few weeks ago. Dad, how about some father-daughter time? Let's go climb the Grand Teton in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Did you respond, who's this? Who is this that texted me?
She wanted to spend time with her dad, so we're going to do a couple
and
weeks.
And it was her idea to go to the Grand Tetons.
She wants to go, yeah, the hike up the Grand Teton, climb the Grand Teton. Wow. So we've got a, that's well, part of my summer.
Be careful.
Summer vacation is hiking the Grand Teton.
Didn't you break your leg there last time?
What?
Wasn't it the Grand Teton? <That is. laughs> So be careful.
I got to tell you, I was calling to make, there's like two companies. You need a guide. I guess if you really know what you're doing, you don't need a guide, but I don't know what I'm doing. So I have a guide because you've got a rope up at the top and there's climbing and stuff.
Sounds
14,000 foot.
Fascinating.
Spectacular. And so as they said, have you ever climbed the Grand Teton before? Yes, I have. With us? Yes. When was that? And I said, you remember 6 years ago, that huge storm you had, that you had the biggest search and rescue in your guys' history, where you plucking those people off the top of the mountain with the helicopters? They said, oh, yeah. And I said, I was hiking up that day. I was camped at the saddle, witnessing all that. I said, do you remember the next day there was a guy who broke his ankle and they had to get helicoptered out again? They said, yeah. I said, that was me.
What'd they say? Did they kick you anyway?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
I'm not going to break my ankle. And by the way, there was no danger where that happened. It could have happened.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Anyway.
Happened in the hallway here, in the carpet. I could have hit a snag.
I got it. So it's, if I.
Yeah. It was, I broke, was completely safe.
I broke my
ankle.
It
was ADA approved.
I break my ankle. My good friend Mark Holloway. Like the next week, we had done an Ironman a couple weeks before that.
We had people throw rocks at us when we were running it.
So my buddy Mark, so we're both in great shape. I break my leg and ankle. And of course, I'm feeling sorry for myself or whatever.
And Mark Holloway?
A week later, breaks his ankle.
How fortuitous is that?
Almost like on the carpet. He was.
Oh, did he really?
Went out. He had his bathrobe on and slippers. And he's getting the leaves out of the pool. And he slept. He fell. And like the stickiness of his slipper caused his foot to stay in place, and he fell in the pool.
Oh!
And snapped his ankle.
Now that's a story he should not tell.
He's not, but that's
but you did. So Mark everyone Holloway. Scott Hansen's good friend, yes. Sacramento, California. Embarrassing moments.
That's
share
right.
with Scott.
Sorry, Mark.
He'll get that's him right. on the air.
Anyway,
how many friends do you have left?
Who else can I call out? Something stupid.
Who else? All right, let's go to the call.
All right.
You'd like to join the show, 888-2-HANSEN, or you could always join us at moneymatters.com, moneymatters.com.
We're talking with Kathy. Kathy, you're with Hansen McLean.
Hi, Kathy. I have a question.
All right.
I just turned 59 and a half, and I have an old IRA worth about $16,000, and I also, because of recent layoffs, have a credit card debt of about $10,000.
Okay. Are you working?
Yes.
Okay.
And so I guess my question is, should I cash in? And I do have another IRAs that I'm contributing to. This is an old one from an old job.
And how much is in your other one?
Should I cash in that old IRA to pay off that credit card debt?
And how much is in the new IRA, as you called it?
Altogether, I have about $100,000.
Okay, so let's just, I hear this term old IRAs. They're IRAs. They're IRAs. How much do you earn at your job?
$29 an hour.
Okay, so approximately $60,000 a year. Are you working full time?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, there's 2,080 work hours in a year, so it's approximately $60,000.
Will you have a pension at retirement?
Yes.
And how much will your pension be in retirement?
It looks like now about $800 a month.
And how long have you had this $10,000 in credit card debt? How many years?
About 2 years.
And how did you get it?
Lost a job.
There was a job loss.
Yeah.
Here's our concern, Kathy. I view money in retirement plans as sacred dollars that are not really yours today. They're yours for your retirement years, your older years. Uh-huh. Okay? So right now you're 59 and a half, so you've just reached the point where you can access these without any tax penalties. But two things you got going against you if you pull the money out. One, you still have taxes due, so you still have to pay taxes on the money. And two, maybe even more importantly, is it's less dollars you're going to have down the road when you really need the money.
Kathy, do you own a home?
Yes.
And what's the value of the home?
The current value, probably about $220,000.
And do you owe any money on the home?
Yes, about $160,000.
And what's the interest rate?
On the home?
Yeah.
The mortgage, I think it's about 3-4%. All
right. And a fixed rate?
Yes.
And okay. You refinanced it recently?
Just did.
About a year ago.
Okay. So I don't want you to, I want you to pay this credit card debt off out of your earnings. I want you to pay it off, but I want you to pay it out of your earnings. So it's going to be a little bit of a struggle. Do not touch this IRA. Absolutely do not touch this IRA.
I don't care what the interest rate is on the credit card, frankly.
Yeah. Don't pay off this credit card debt with the IRAs, but pay the credit card debt off with your earnings. So just set up a plan and say, okay, I'm going to pay this off over the next 18 months. And over the next 18 months, I'm going to put $600 a month towards this credit card debt. And you'll have it paid off in less than 18 months, including the interest rate charges. Don't put anything new on that. This is the time of your life where you've got the next 5-6 years really, really to prepare for retirement, that you need to do this right. You need to look at everything you're putting away and make sure it's allocated in all your debt. And if you're lucky, you can retire at age 65 or 67. I would sit down with a financial planner and actually look at how your 401k is allocated, as well as those old IRAs. So it may make sense for you to take all those IRAs and combine them together and make sure it's got a proper allocation. And then make sure that with your new job, you're contributing the maximum to the 401k, which is just going to take a little bit of a change in the standard of living. And how long did you have your previous job before you lost it?
Before I lost it? Yeah. A year and a half.
Okay. So this new job you have, it has a 401k available to you?
Yes.
Okay. That you need to really start taking advantage of that to the maximum. So I would sit down with a qualified advisor, make sure that's allocated. Absolutely do not use that IRA to pay off that credit card debt, but pay it out of your current earnings. Does that help?
Yes, it does.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Kathy. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, I wish you well, and I'm glad you're back working. And oftentimes we go through things in life, but if you look at the studies, Pat, particularly younger people, the amount of money that gets spent from 401ks or other retirement plans prior to retirement is astronomical. And I know it's tempting. Look, we all have things that will happen in life, and suddenly we find ourselves in a
tough
struggling
situation.
Time. And we might have high income, and suddenly we're out of work for a period of time. But those retirement dollars, they really need to be treated as money that's not really yours today, but there's yours for retirement time. So anyway, hey, we have just about a minute before the end of our program. I want to remind our listeners that this program, you can receive this program, continue to listen to this great station, which is fantastic. But you can also receive this program via podcast delivered to any device you'd like on a weekly basis. You can either go to iTunes and search Money Matters. I'm sorry, search Hanson McLean on iTunes. You can search Hanson McLean on iTunes and sign up for it there. Or you can go to moneymatters.com And at moneymatters.com, you can sign up for the podcast there.
And you can get a discount on Scott's book at moneymatters.com.
That's right. Go to moneymatters.com/book.
And Scott's will send you a discount code so that when you go to Amazon, you get a...
I will send that to them.
You will.
Personally.
Do you even know how it works?
No.
Okay.
What do you mean how it works?
How it all takes place. You have no idea.
I don't even know how this computer works. My iPad here,
but
I don't know
the marketing
how it works.
People will give you,
you know
a 75. Of course it works. You turn it on, Steve Jobs magically makes
Steve
everything
Jobs.
Work.
Gordon Morris, it keeps getting faster.
Well, appreciate the listening. Have a great weekend, and we will be back same station, same time next weekend.
That's right. This has been Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.
Hey, if you're listening to our show on podcast and you'd like to be a caller into the show, don't hesitate to give us a call.
That's
at 888-2-HANSON. That's 888-2-HANSON. You got it.
Yeah, we'll take your call. We record sometimes during the week, so we'd love to take your call.